Welcome to the Flyover Ministry Podcast, a practical youth ministry podcast for small church leaders by small church leaders. We are grateful that you have joined us for our journey through ministry-related topics that we hope help equip and encourage you as you serve Jesus wherever you are.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Dan. And Jordan just signaled with his eyebrows via Morse code that I'm Jordan, and this is Flyover Ministry. Jordan, we've been talking about identity and gauging the success, and then you went ahead and shouted out the ratings, and now I'm feeling like I have to gauge our success and effectiveness as podcasters based on the ratings that we received.
I said nothing of how many stars we were rated, just that somebody had gave us a review.
Ooh, people do listen, and we do appreciate that people listen. I am frankly shocked that we are on halfway through season four, and people are appreciating the content enough. And it does mean a lot, you know, when you're creating something to have people recognize and find value in what you've created. It makes you feel nice and warm and cozy. That's not mean that we're seeking it out, but we do appreciate feedback. And I know it's been a while since we've had suggestions on topics, but I'm just going to throw that out. And if you have anything that you'd like us to address, or even just to speculate on, even if it's just like a one episode deal,
Bitcoin,
you know, try and keep that ministry related, or just, you know, professional. Like, oh, what do you think about the chances of the Twins playing in October? Jordan's not going to have too much to say on that. I will have a little bit to say, but
football
it won't
season.
Be too much. What's that?
Football season.
Yeah, football season. That's playoff season too.
Oh.
For baseball. I mean, you're not wrong, but I'm talking about the Twins. So when are they going to score all the points?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Thankfully, our identity is not based on our knowledge of baseball trivia. But, man, I had a student. This is a side. I had a student who you could ask, like, I want you to add the number, this individual's number on their jersey from this year, and this individual's number when they played for this team. And I want you to give me a player who had that number. Or you can give them some kind of math equation based on the number that they played. And he could do it. Like, he could do it. It was frankly like, oh, man.
So God gives somebody a treasure of a mind that works that well, and they waste it on that. That's kind of what I think, just personally.
You know what? Everybody needs a hobby. I think everybody has a hobby. And you know what? I'm not going to yuck your yum. That's not my preference, but it is an odd deal. I mean, some people translate dead Norwegians. And that's their hobby. But
yeah, there's benefit to that, though. I heard a quote that I was just like, yeah, go Sverdrup from our illustrious president, by the way, Micah Germstad, teaching an SIT about conflict in the church. And I was like, okay, maybe I understand this society a little bit better now. There's some good. Not a big reader myself, but
old George Sverdrup, old Jorg. A couple of us called him Jorge at one point.
Culture mashup.
I know. What a blend of flavors of cultures.
Lutefisk with the refried beans.
Oh, no. Oh, God. I was going to say lutefisk taco, but man, that's... I don't even know. Is refried beans an American deal, or is that actually a key component of Hispanic cuisine?
The best refried beans that I have ever had was at a Father's Day cookout on a cattle ranch in Mexico, where they had a cow that had been slaughtered like that day, cooked over rounded up mesquite. It was amazing.
Wow. Like,
yeah,
they just went foraging for mesquite and they found it.
Well, it was, they had it around.
Incredible.
It does sound really good.
Very, very good.
It was a good Father's Day. It was not a chocolate bar. It was like we will honor you. Yeah.
Man, I am honored today. Oh man, that would be tremendous. I know, and this is not to bash Mother's Day. Mother's Day, our family celebrates by doing some kind of barbecue thing, and that has been a varying success. But now that we know kind of what to do, we have a better chance to plan and prepare for it. But
sure,
yeah, our church does a pancake brunch for Father's Day. But then the fathers usually joke around. It's like, then why are we back here? If this is our deal, why are we making this?
Yeah.
Well, it's for your kids. And yeah. Anyway.
Being a dad.
That's enough of an aside. Although, you've successfully made me hungry. Now I'm all, not for refried beans, but for good, like, Hispanic.
Lutefisk.
Hispanic cuisine. Ugh.
Okay.
Anyway, well, let's get going. I'll shift us
back on track here. So our topic for this week, we're going to be looking at the formation of your student's identity. So last week we talked about the foundation, which is everything that is being built on, which we want to recognize as Christ. And now we're going to look at some of the formations of external forces. I mean, we recognize God is at work, but there's a lot of different things that go into making our students who they are. And probably this is going to be pretty obvious to you. You'd be like, well, duh, guys, you had to take a whole week to talk about that. Well, yes, we did, because there's 4 weeks this month, and this was one of them. So,
and you know what? When you have your own podcast,
that's
you
right.
can talk about whatever you want.
There you go.
Get off. I need you to get all the way off our backs.
But yeah, so I'm going to start by one of the things that I learned. I remember this was at a youth worker weekend way back when. And the person that came in started talking about this thing called family systems. And up until that point, I never heard that before. And so what the concept of family systems is recognizing that, like, your student, if you're thinking of like a baby mobile, they're one of those little decorations that's hanging down. And the rest of their family are the other pieces of the mobile. And then if something chaotic is going on with one of those pieces, the whole mobile is impacted, right? So like if you got a baby who's just jerking on one of those things, the whole thing is shaking. And so it really was formative to think through just like, oh yeah, like there's a lot of stuff that goes on in students' families that really forms and impacts who they are and how they are. And so you're going to say duh to this one. But one of the key places to look at the formation of your student's identity is the family system that they're growing up in. So as you're having an opportunity to look at and work with the students that you have, be sure to like look at the family too and get to know the family. What kind of environment are they living at home? Do they have something where the tradition is going to be basically like when we're at home, we're gathered in the living room and we have the TV on and we're watching whatever it is. Maybe it's baseball and we're learning jersey numbers. Maybe it's murder mysteries. Maybe it's action hero, whatever.
Yeah.
Because that kind of environment is definitely going to impact the formation of the student that you're working with. They're going to be exposed to different things. They're going to maybe be looking at different cues to try to find their identity. And it's going to maybe take some different things to communicate the gospel effectively to them. And that's going to be something that's totally different from a family that spends their time on a travel hockey league. I know that that's like...
Really?
Yes, because they're not going to have time for TV unless it's in the motel because they're always driving to hockey things, right?
And the TV is going to be on other hockey games.
Yeah. And that's also going to be different from a family that is like nature enthusiasts that were out hiking in the woods every weekend. And so all these different things definitely play a role in the family. And that's just how the family operates in a healthy way day to day. Some might argue that much TV time might not be healthy, but I say that as a qualification because another part to this, as we're looking at families, is wrestling with the reality of the brokenness that many of our students are living in, where dad's out of the picture or they've been adopted and they're having to figure out how come my parents didn't want me, even if that's not the original situation. It's hard not to think that. Or their family's together and there's abuse, or maybe there's mental illness somewhere. You could take that so many different ways. And each one of those unique situations is going to season that student very, very significantly. So take a picture of an absent father, for example, and here we are at church and we're talking about God, our Heavenly Father. That may not sound very appealing because every experience they've had with fatherhood has been hurtful, right? Mm-hmm. And we need to know that as we're working with our students and recognizing if we have a son, then they don't necessarily know the cues of what to look for to be a man. And what does it look like to follow Jesus honorably as a man? What does it look to love your wife like Christ loved the church? Because it's not been modeled for him. And that's a piece of their life that we can speak into.
Right. I think too, like there's a component and a time in childhood as they're getting older where they reach a point where they try to figure out, you know, who am I personally, but also how do I fit into this community, which is where you're going to find, I think, a lot of testimonies that I've even heard from students who have grown up and shared about their faith journey, where they would say, you know, I was living one way at home and a different way at church and a different way at school. And it's because they're trying to figure out who they are and how they fit into each particular community that they are in. You know, and there is a lot of broken families. And I think especially when you're dealing with student ministry in any way, whatever age, you do have to involve the family. I think if you're special children's ministry, VBS, whatever, like you are as a church partnering with what ought to be going on as a God-given task at home. And it is important for you to know mom and dad's name, or if there's only one or one parent, or if these kids are living with their grandparents. I mean, we had students calling their grandparents mom and dad, just because that's there was a difficult situation that I won't get into or talk about too much. But you know, there's a lot of different variables that impact what a family looks like, and a lot of that impact is because of sin. You know, you're dealing with the brokenness of other people. And then you do have families where mom and dad are sticking together, and good or bad, thick or thin, here they're trying to do the best they can. And you're dealing with a lot of still sin that's kind of been passed from generation to generation. And, you know, who am I and how do I fit into this? I think especially, and we can get into this with peers as well, but like when I come in to substitute for our students, I love seeing their reaction. Because now they have to refigure out who they are in the midst of, like, okay, I know who I am in third period science because these are the people in my class, but now my youth pastor is subbing and I have to refigure myself out, to the point where there was a one student who's just acting weird, and their friends noticed and said, "What's wrong with you? Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you acting this way?" And they're trying to figure out who they are, which is kind of a big decision. It's an important decision. And you want to help them ground that in Jesus. I want to see you be who you are across the board, not an individual, you know, church you, home you, school you. I want you to be who God made you to be in all areas. But I do think that there's a lot of complexity that they're just trying to figure out who that is at all times. Like, who is it that I want to be? And a lot of times, right, when they're hanging out with friends, like, I don't like who I am when I'm with these group of people. I don't like who I am when I'm playing volleyball because I get way too competitive. I need to, you're trying to help walk them through figuring out who they are, who God has made them to be in light of who He declares them to be as well.
Right. And I think as we think about families too, another aspect to look at this and consider is that of legacy and heritage. You know, that can be so significant in a student's life. If, for example, they're coming from a family of doctors or lawyers, and there's this pressure to succeed academically, to shoot for that kind of career. You might have a family that has a heritage of pastoral or mission work, and that's going to create a foundation to their identity too. And so looking at some of the chain, some of the history, it could be like local culture. So up in the UP, you know, we've got a lot of Uper culture, and it could just be like, man, the farthest I've gone is the Marquette there, you know? And that can be like, embrace the redneck. I'm going to wear the flannel and live on tree bark kind of a thing. But
oh
that
my gosh.
Informs who our students are. And similarly to Minnesota with their lakes and Northwood, whatever, there's places wherever you are where this is going to be a factor. And that's going to inform how our students look at the world, how they see themselves. And that's really important. Self-perception, value, all these different things. Another thing that we can look at as we're trying to help our students to see our students, how they've been formed. I don't know how often we think about this, but the impact of their perception of the congregation's idea of them as individuals. So in other words, what does a church think of me? And if they're in a church context where all the communication and feedback they're getting from the congregation is, don't do this, don't do that, don't break the walls, don't like put the things in the garbage can, you're so sloppy, you're so, you know, that's going to form a part of what they think of themselves. If they are in a congregation where it's like, oh, you're so valuable and talk to us when you're 20, when you actually matter, that's going to inform their, you know what I mean with that, right?
Like I do. And it's painful to hear, but go on.
And so like all these things form how they see themselves and where they see themselves in relation to Christ and to his church too. And so could contrast that to like some of the healthy options where it's the church. It's like, you know what? We want to see you know Jesus, and we want to create opportunities for you to explore what your gifting is and serve him now and train you and equip you in these things. Those things matter. And that is a huge part of a student's life. And I, you know, to go back to like my own journey, for example, having the adults know me, now that I look back, was a very significant thing. I knew I was known. And yes, there were times when I had like my neck pinched because I was being a turd and I deserved it. Or, you know, like this lady's like, you do not handle my son that way, you know, because he was younger than me and I was whatever. I've had those moments, but largely it was, we love that you're here. God's going to do something with you. And hearing even people now saying like, yeah, back when you were, you know, going to Awana's and in church, I always thought, you know, God's going to do something with that guy. And then looking at me and saying like, and now look at where you're at, you know, that says something. And that's so cool. And to have a congregation that has a redemptive view of students can be so important. And this is something that as we look at ministering to students, we can impact. You know, we can have these conversations. We can point these things out. Like we say these students matter, but then in practice, they don't count for anything significant congregationally until this time. How do we reconcile this? It's kind of like what's going on right now with the whole pro-life movement and what they just passed about like embryos from in vitro fertilization counting as preborn humans.
Right.
And now it's raised this whole hornet's nest of how do we handle all these things? It's good to have those conversations and to recognize like we've got to be consistent in our practice from what we're claiming. But yeah, right. So that's a huge another part of the puzzle of what forms a student's perception and identity of themselves.
Mm-hmm. The other reality here on this too is going to bat for students, like you said, being like the person who takes point, who's in their corner, who can kind of defend them when people have a poor or a misconstrued idea of who they are, right? Yeah. Where I think especially the children are the future of the church. And I understand the sentiment of what is being said when that is verbalized. I understand what they're getting at. They're talking about that legacy, the spiritual legacy. Like, yeah, you know what? Students are. But they are also the church right now, and our church would be less than it is if they were gone, right? If they weren't here, we would be less. It would be to our detriment if they left us. I think especially churches that would just metaphorically kill for people who are in their 20s because. We just are missing this age group. Well, yep. You know, part of the reason that a lot of these 20-year-olds are gone is because the church isn't ready for them. They've been told their whole life that you're a student. You stay over here. Here's the youth room. This, that, and the other thing, all the things that you had mentioned as well. And then when they get to this age and they move away to college, you know, well, where are they? And you realize that as we're talking to smaller churches and smaller communities, there's not a lot of work in some of these smaller communities. So they're obviously moving away, and they're going to stay away because that's just where their work is. But you do have people that do move back. And, well, why did they join this church? Why are they going over here? You know, there's a lot of reasons for why people worship where they do. But I want to make sure that I'm doing what I can to make sure that people know that, you know, what we value you here. We appreciate you being a part of us. We want you to help us be who God designed us to be. And ultimately, you're talking about the whole congregation, not just the adults, but the whole congregation. And I think that's when it comes to family ministry and youth ministry, that's very much like the overlap of, you know, what a lot of youth ministry sounds like church ministry, and it should, because you're talking about discipleship. So we're also looking at peers and culture here in the formation of students' identities. And I'll say this because we just got done subbing for this a couple weeks ago. Some of our students are reading through the Diary of Anne Frank, and they're talking about how social conforms impact how the decisions people make, right? And you consider Germany and the fascism in the 1940s, and even in the 30s, about how that slowly led people to make decisions that they did. Well, you know, they knew it was the wrong thing to do, but they didn't really say anything because the rest of their culture didn't allow them a chance to say this. So you see the impact of the culture around our students. You see the impact of the friends that they pick, and you want to help them in this kind of decision on the formation of their identity, because you know what? If they're around kids who dress a certain way or who are partaking in recreational drugs, I mean, that's very much the fear of what tends to happen. Not just a fear, but a justified fear that they will take on the behavioral patterns of the people that they're around. They will start to believe the lies and just the half-truths that are presented to them in culture. And you want to be a voice of the truth. Very much what Paul is telling Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, that yes, pray for all people. There are people who are going to depart from the truth, but you focus on the people of God. Continue to equip the people God has given to you. Remind them of who they are in Christ. And in so doing, you know, you'll grow the body.
And I think that it's helpful to point out to students the power of those things. I don't think they quite understand just how powerful, like, that cultural pressure can be. And I heard of one instance where there was a teacher who was watching, like, they're watching a video related to Anne Frank. They'd just been going through this stuff. And during this video, she said, okay, everybody, you need to be taking notes on this video. And at one point, she stops the video and she says to this kid, get up, leave, go to the office. You need to be taking notes, and you weren't taking notes. And he was like, but I was. And she's like, no, you weren't. Go to the office. Does anyone want to vouch for him? And like one or two people started to say something, and she just shut him down right away. And so this student was getting ready to leave, and she said, do you guys see how easy that was? Like, we are literally studying this, and that just happened, you know? And we sometimes, to our detriment, overlook the pull of culture to our students, and recognizing culture is not stagnant or stationary. It's static. That's it. It's always moving. And right. Where is it moving to? And culture, if it's a reflection, like you said before, kind of like AI, if we put evil into something, we got to expect it's going to have an evil outcome or sinful. Culture is driven a lot by sinful ambitions and motives. And it doesn't lead us closer to Christ most of the time. So we need to be aware of that. And there's so much pressures that's coming in. We're going to talk a little bit next week about the issues of identity in our culture. Nothing new. There's stuff that's going on. We'll talk about some of it. But we need to recognize that that does have pressure on our students. You know, when they have a school celebration with everything rainbows and tolerance, do they need to stand up and say, hey, I'm not going to participate in that, and be feared like being called a homophobe and all this other stuff? You know, we need to be walking with them and say, like, here's some of the costs of following Christ. And but recognizing too that this is something that forms how they perceive themselves and why it's so significant for us in all these issues we talked about today to say, you know what, this is why we need to ground ourselves in the reality of who Christ says you are and base our foundation off of that.
Good stuff.
All right. So I think we'll wrap it up there. Hopefully that was a good teaser for next week and that you can join us as we talk about those identity issues. And with that, we'll leave it there and pray that you go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks for listening to Flyover Ministry. You can find, follow, and give feedback on our Instagram and Facebook pages at Flyover Ministry. You can also get in contact with us on our Gmail account, flyoverministrypodcast@gmail.com. You can find other episodes that we've recorded on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and please feel free to share them with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.